You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. 17 games in 17 days, and tonight, the Dodgers play host to the San Diego Padres. Join us from Arango Casino pregame at 5:30. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show, hosted by Dan Patrick and joined by the four Danettes.
Seton, Pauly, Fritzy, and McLovin.
People sometimes ask me, how would you describe the Danettes?
The meanest Danette, Pauly.
And I struggle because, well, they're complex human beings with layers.
I really love my grandma.
But every so often, something happens that perfectly sums up an individual.
Case in point.
When I was 8 years old pitching in Little League, the other team from the third base dugout was screaming and yelling, "We want a pitcher, not a Billy Hitch," and all the things to try to distract me. And it was my first year in Little League, and I didn't realize that that's something that you can do. And it was really bothering me. I'm walking guys. I'm losing focus. I call timeout. So I wave the home plate up me between the catcher and the mound. And I go, yeah, I'm trying to pitch here, and the other team is screaming and yelling at me. Can you make them stop?
Oh. Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is Dan Patrick.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Gang's all here, ready to go on this Monday. Got some breaking news with college football to bring to your attention. It's been a wild 24 hours for college football. Some of the headlines here, the Mid-American Conference has decided that they're not going to play fall football. Big Ten and the Pac-12 are on the fence right now. The ACC and the SEC and the Big 12 might try to cobble together a schedule involving those conferences. But once again, I'll have that information for you coming up in a moment. Colin Morikawa, who will join us on the program, I believe tomorrow, won the PGA Championship. Final games of the NBA regular season and some interesting conversations involving the Portland Trailblazers, the Clippers, and the Lakers. We'll dive into those topics coming up in a little bit. We'll have a poll question for you. We got a play of the day, stat of the day. And you can dive in if you want. Variety of ways. You can tweet us at Dan Patrick Show. You can email DP at Dan Patrick Show. And also 877-3DP Show. Say good morning to Chat Row, those watching on YouTube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. And our radio affiliates around the country, numbering 362. Here's the information I got almost an hour ago. The Big Ten and Pac-12 will cancel their football seasons tomorrow. The ACC and the Big 12 are on the fence. The SEC is trying to get a delay to have teams join them. The SEC is looking at exclusive TV contracts. So once again, then I followed up with my source and I said, so the Big 10 and Pac-12 canceled tomorrow. That's what I'm told this morning. Three Big 10 teams that I've spoken with said it's done. And I followed up by saying, so the SEC might go alone and bring in other schools. That's the latest. They're trying to buy time, according to my source, to see if the ACC or Big 12 will go along with them. So that's the information I've got this morning. And I was in touch with my source over the weekend, you know, that the commissioners met last night and, as of yesterday, last night at 7 o'clock, the Big Ten may pull the plug tomorrow morning. I even had my source telling me on some of the votes, the Big Ten presidents, 12-2 not to play. Pac-12 doesn't want to be the first to cancel. Oklahoma and Texas are fighting the rest of the Big 12 to try to salvage the season. Mid-American Conference dropped the football season in the fall. They don't have the money to test. Safety, a big issue, but the money was the impetus. Northern Illinois was pulling out, and that led the charge in the Mid-American Conference. So there's a lot going on. It could still change. My source said, hey, everything is on the table right now. It is the wild, wild west. But the latest is that the Big Ten and Pac-12 will cancel tomorrow. ACC, Big 12 on the fence. The SEC is trying to get a delay to have teams join them. And the SEC is looking at exclusive TV contracts. So we'll talk to Pat Forty, who covers college football. He'll join us on loan from Sports Illustrated. But this is hour to hour. You know, it is fluid. You got players who want to play. And, you know, so... You know, Trevor Lawrence is out there, you know, saying, hey, we want to play. You got a lot of people who are involved in this. You know, politics is playing a role in this. Certain states, certain conferences, commissioners. What's the NCAA do? It's all on the table. But as I get more information, I'll let you know. But that's the latest as of, you know, 9:05 Eastern this morning. This program is brought to you by Raycon. Raycon wireless earbuds, the way to go. Get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Patrick. That's buyraycon.com/Patrick. And I'm sure once this information gets out, you'll probably have one or two of these conferences refuting what I'm saying here. But nobody's ready to announce anything yet. This is what I'm told that the announcement will be with Pac-12, Big Ten. It's scheduled to be tomorrow morning. But I was told this, and this was really important. Nobody wants to be the first of the Big Five conferences to tap out first. That the Pac-12 is probably going to be that conference, but it feels like the Big Ten is going to take the initiative here. And then you're going to have the Big 12. You got Oklahoma and Texas saying to these other schools, we want to play and we need you to play here. And I don't know where those votes are. I just know it was overwhelming that the Big Ten, with their presidents, they were not going to play football. 12-2. That was the vote total. Pac-12 wants to do the same, just didn't want to be the first to do it. Big Ten could do it and wouldn't take as much, you know, receive as much criticism or blowback as the Pac-12 would, from what I'm told. But the SEC, with what's going on, trying to see what they can salvage here. And maybe you have a college football season. Maybe it's the SEC, and it's only the SEC. But and I didn't get this answer yet from my source, and maybe Pat Forty can tell me, is what changed? You had conference schedules that went out last week. We had the ACC and then the SEC. We had the Big Ten. I don't know what happened in the span of 5 days. So in the span of 5 days, something happened, something changed. Because the Big Ten put out their schedule 5 days ago. So now all of a sudden I got 12-2 vote that the Big Ten's not going to play football. Now, remember when Connecticut canceled their fall program, football program? And I said, well, there's a couple things there. They're an independent. They were losing some games on their schedule. It's not a big revenue producing. Now, all of a sudden, and we wondered if other schools, conferences would follow suit. And from what I'm told, what happened with Connecticut did not impact, would not impact the Power Five conferences. Because they do have the money for testing. They do have the safety precautions and guidelines that would be in place here. So that's what's confusing. It feels like there were, for some of these bigger schools, the opportunity to stay safer being on campus, getting tested, actually being part of the football program. I don't know what happened in 5 days, but something did. You know, and I said this last week, it felt like some people were in denial. If we have football, great. All for it. Want it. Need it. It certainly makes my job easier. But it felt like we were in denial of trying to pull this off. My source said, the NFL is going to happen. The NFL will start the season. He said, I don't know if they'll finish the season, but they will start the season. He said, you can guarantee that. But college football, he said, it just there's too many moving parts. You know, the NFL might be like Major League Baseball. I mean, Major League Baseball is somehow going to get through this. But it's going to be a mess. Because they had another rough week. You know, the Cardinals, when are they going to, how are they going to get all these games in? Do you realize the Miami Marlins are going to play 15 games in 11 days and four doubleheaders? And they're bringing people off the street right now. How are you going to, I mean, the pitching staffs here, like it's, they're somehow, as I told you from the beginning, all they wanted to do is get to the postseason. That's it. That's all they want to do. Get to the postseason. Just saw this from Tom Pelissero, his tweet on the NFL draft. Tom works for the NFL Network. If college football moves to the spring, what happens to the draft scheduled for April 29th through May 1st in Cleveland? The collective bargaining agreement says each draft shall be held no later than June 1st. So any delay beyond that would require approval by the players' union. I'm told even spring football is a dream right now. And I don't know, you know, are we going to have a vaccine? Like, what would be different in the spring that we don't have now? That's what I was told. Once again, it's a lot to take in. And it was a lot for me to take in an hour ago. And then all of a sudden you're going, okay, Big Ten, Pac-12, cancel tomorrow. ACC, Big 12 on the fence. SEC is trying to see if they can pick off some of these schools and see if they want to join them. Now, can you get – I don't know that the two schools in the Big Ten – I have an idea that they probably said that they wanted to play football.
Do these two schools hate each other?
I don't know. I'm not sure because, look, Wisconsin's big revenue producing. Penn State, big revenue. Obviously, Ohio State. Then you have Michigan, Michigan State. But I can ask my source if, you know, can you tell me the two schools or the two presidents that said, no, we want to play in the Big Ten. But if you can get Texas and Oklahoma from the Big 12 and they're going to join you in the SEC – you got a super conference. But this year is going to change the NCAA. It is. It will change. We're going to eventually redefine the NCAA in a lot of different categories here. Can you get unions here? What about pay? You know, you had the Pac-12 commissioner, Larry Scott, who said this is a PR move by these players in the Pac-12. And he doesn't want to address it anymore. So things are changing. Seismic shifts here. But college football, as we know it, is not going to play this fall. You might have conferences. And you go back to when we had the commissioner of the SEC on, and we've had him on a couple of times, Greg Sankey. And I said, can we see a scenario where the SEC just plays SEC football and that's it? And he didn't want to go down that road, but I'm told that's what the SEC looks at themselves as. I mean, they're different. They're different than any other school, any other conference. And they're approaching it that way. Would I be surprised if we had SEC football and maybe a couple of outliers there? No. But I do think these other conferences are probably going to close up shop here. And I want to caution you once again, and this is what my source said. This can change. It can change because everything has been changing in the span of 24, 48, 72 hours. Nobody's going to make an announcement today, and I'm sure that people in these local markets are going to be calling their athletic directors or their coaches and trying to get them on record to say, hey, Dan Patrick is saying this. My source is telling me right now, this is what's happening in those conferences. And this is going to be a long day with college football. Because you're going to have a lot of people trying to make a decision, and they might not be ready to make that decision. Now you have to. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. I told the Danettes, I said, I don't know if this news is going to last till the top of the hour when we start the show, but I got some information for you here. So you guys are just hearing it for the first time. And I know we have questions. We talked about this pre-show where what changed from last week to this week, other than now we're getting closer that, you know, students are going back to school. You have the risk and the reward here. There's liability. Liability is the key word that I heard over the weekend. Liability, if you know the students go back, they get sick, or they're asymptomatic, they come home, somebody else gets sick. What if a coach gets sick? Just the liability here and the risk and the reward. But it's a big deal. It is a big deal. And you had all these commissioners who had an emergency meeting on Sunday. So those are the things that were discussed. Yeah, Paul.
I'm most curious, other than college football, is the NFL having meetings this morning, making plans for the fall if there's no college football? Saturday becomes wide open. Primetime Saturday night becomes wide open for them. Are they going to say, let's get a national TV schedule for Saturdays and get it in place in case college football taps out?
I don't know how that works with the collective bargaining agreement. That it feels like they've modified all summer long here. That why not throw an addendum in there, a clause in there, but when could you play Saturday football games, and how does that affect work week? And I don't know.
A lot of money there.
Oh, absolutely.
Two more national primetime game on Saturday and a national game, even if you just did two games on Saturday.
Absolutely. No, I get it. And with the NFL, I'm certain, you know, the benevolent, philanthropic, altruistic NFL would go, well, all right, we're going to help out the college football fans who don't have something to watch, so we're going to play a couple NFL games on Saturday. Maybe ABC wants to pony up $1 billion, and that would be nice. I mean, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Yes, Todd?
I think that's something that can totally happen, and I would love to see Saturday and Sunday games.
Thank you, Todd. McLovin, you got a poll question for me today.
Yes. One college football question. I don't know if you want to get the audience's viewpoint on this. Do you think they should have a college football season? How do you think the audience would vote?
Well, we want it to happen. I mean, that's why when I hear, you know, some of these analysts or hosts saying that there are people in the media rooting against this, I'm not. I don't want to be... I'm not that insecure that I want to be the guy who says, I told you so. I would love to be told over and over and over that I was wrong about this because it makes my job harder. College football is fun. Love it. I watch Maction. I watch Tuesday night or Wednesday games. I watch the WAC, the MAC, the SAC, whatever it is. I don't even know if there is a SAC.
Sure there is.
But I'm watching it. SWAC. I'm watching the SWAC, the MAC, and the WAC, something like that. But I'm not rooting against it.
Yeah, can we get the commissioner of the SAC on?
Yeah.
Today, have we called for him?
Yeah, he's hard to get.
Yeah.
He is a little tough to reach.
Yeah. He's nuts. What? Yeah, I want football. Love football. Not rooting against. It's not like, oh my gosh, you know, I need my ego stroke just so I can say, I told you so. God, I hope I'm wrong. I didn't think the NBA was going to happen. It's here. And I've heard from friends saying, yeah, I thought you said it wasn't going to happen. Absolutely. I said baseball would start. I didn't think baseball would finish. Maybe it will. But just understand, my opinions are facts. They're based in getting information from somebody. It's not where I go, I'm hearing. You know, I'm thinking this might happen. I don't do that to you. I'm giving you information that I get. I take no pride, no glee in going, hey, I'm hearing the Pac-12 and Big Ten are going to shut down football this season. None. Don't need a scoop. Don't need my name in headlines with it. But for this audience, I'm true to you and what I tell you. But I don't take any joy whatsoever saying, boy, can't wait to tell them and break the news here. I'm not Woj or Jay Glazer, Adam Schefter. That's not my job. But when we have it, hopefully we present it to you in a professional way. If I get more information, I'll tell you. I'll update you on it. But I trust my sources. They've given me great information, you know, the last decade. And I trust them in this situation as well. Yes, Paulie?
By the way, the SAC is real, Dan. Don't sleep on the SAC. The South Athletic Conference, Catawba, Carson Newman, Lenore Ryan, Limestone amongst the luminaries in that. They're based in Rock Hill, South Carolina. The South Athletic Conference. Remember the Catawba Claw, Dan? You remember?
Oh, yeah. I have a jersey. Somebody sent me one of their jerseys. All right, let me take a break here. Did Lance Allworth go to Catawba?
Wasn't he? No.
He went to Arkansas. I think Lance Allworth
Bucky
was...
Bucky Pope was a Catawba Claw.
Bucky Pope.
Yes, the Catawba Claw. He's a wide receiver.
Sack legend.
Bucky Pope.
If you criticize him, you know what it is, Todd.
They're getting a little testy?
Sacrilegious.
Oh, that one.
Sacrilegious.
Wow, that was a real duel right there.
Getting some angry emails. Okay. They are getting a little testy. Stop making fun of the side. I'm just saying.
Okay.
We can make anything in a groin humor.
I start out with college football. The curtain's coming down on college football. All right, let me take a break here. Is Pat Forty joining us?
He's joining us next. But that's a good poll question. Sacrilegious or testy?
Okay. Tell 40 what my information is so he's not surprised when he joins us here. It's 20 after the hour. We're just getting started here on this Monday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. you know, hiring is challenging, especially with everything else that you have to consider today. But there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, it's fast, it's smart, a place where businesses can connect with qualified candidates. It's ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. You know, you're looking for that special person, but how do you talk to that person? A Zoom call? ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job sites, but they don't stop there. They're so good at their powerful matching technology. They scan thousands of resumes. They're trying to find the right person with the right experience for the right job. ZipRecruiter makes the entire hiring process efficient and effective and has features like screening questions to filter candidates and an all-in-one dashboard where you can review and rate your candidates. ZipRecruiter is so effective. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Right now, try ZipRecruiter for free. My listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. The smartest way to hire. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. This program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. It's the all-new GT four-door coupe because life is a race. Visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you missed any of our interviews this week or any week from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, just go to danpatrick.com. Watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave. Mercedes-AMG driving performance. We'll head inside the bubble coming up next hour. By the way, Colin Morikawa won the PGA Championship at the ripe old age of 23. Will join us on the program tomorrow. Reggie Miller will also join us as well. I mentioned that 10 of the 12 presidents in the Big Ten, from my source, voted 12 of 14 voted not to. They don't want to have a fall football season. So 12 of 14 don't want to have a fall football season, and we were speculating who would be the two that did want to have a football season. Those schools, those presidents were pushing for. You want to go around and guess here? The two schools, two presidents, then we'll get to Pat 40 here. Paulie, I'll start with you.
I'm absolutely sure of one of them. I would bet a week's pay. All Nebraska right. is one of the two teams that voted to play All this right. year. The other one, I got to go to Ohio State.
All right. You got one of two. McLevin, you want to jump in and try to find the other one?
Well, I kind of thought Ohio State and Michigan just because of the rivalry.
Nope. Todd?
Ohio State and Michigan State.
Nope. Seton O'Connor.
Iowa?
Iowa is the other one.
Nice.
Nebraska and Iowa were the two that I'm told their presidents were pushing to play. Once again, this can all change. I want to make sure that I put that out there. It can all change because it has all changed here in the last 5 to 7 days here. Let's bring in Pat 40, Sports Illustrated senior writer here. You're usually the one, the bearer of bad news, but I beat you to the punch here 15 minutes ago here, Pat. So just to recap, we got the Big Ten and Pac-12. They are scheduled to cancel fall sports coming up tomorrow. You have the Big 12 and you have the ACC on the fence. And the SEC is looking at TV contracts, see if they can maybe bring in some schools. So what has happened? What has changed since last week here?
Well, a few things changed. I mean, only in college sports, Dan, is it possible that you're releasing schedules all last week, getting people excited. And then on Saturday morning, basically Northern Illinois goes into a meeting in the Mid-American Conference and says, we're not playing. And all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh, if you're not going to play, maybe we shouldn't play. And then the Mid-American Conference, the number 9 or 10 conference in the nation, says we're not going to play. And everybody else is like, oh, I guess we're not going to play either. It's unbelievable that this could happen in the space of a weekend. Now, I think the Big Ten was tracking that way all along, or certainly for the last week, even yeah. before that. Kevin Warren, the commissioner, has been the most cautious and guarded of all the Power Five commissioners talking about the season. I think the winds were blowing that way strongly during the week. The Mid-American Conference probably stuck a finger in the air and said, if the Big Ten's going, well, we're probably going to go first.
Yeah, it felt like that you got the commissioners together, that they wanted to be all in on this and not have, you know, an outlier. And the SEC may be that outlier, but we thought that that was a possibility anyway the last couple of months here. I know that the Pac-12 didn't want to be the first to announce this. And then I think the Big Ten was maybe going to take that preemptive strike and say, all right, we'll be the ones to announce it. And then the Pac-12. I don't know what happens with the ACC and the Big 12, but could you see where the SEC goes alone and says, we're going to play X number of games here and have a conference champion and we'll have a mythical national champion?
I think it'd be highly improbable. Now, we reported last night and really over the weekend that by the end of this week, everybody will be out.
Okay.
And there will be no fall football. I think the Big 12 is closer to going the way of the Big 10 and Pac-12 than most people think. The ACC is more closely in line with where the SEC is. But I think ultimately they all realize we're not going to play. There may still be some people pushing for it in the SEC. But here's why you can't really be the outlier and go it alone. First of all, if all the other conferences with all of their medical experts and all their presidents say, we don't think it is safe for the players, is the SEC supposed to say, we really don't care whether it's safe for the players, we're going because we like football? I don't think that's going to happen. And the other thing is, a lot of the state schools in that league have pushed really hard at the presidential level to enhance the academic profiles of their schools, specifically Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and South Carolina. They want out-of-state tuition dollars by making the school a better place. If you say, we're a football power and we want to play football and we don't care about the pandemic, that's not going to help you at admissions time.
How does this affect these players who would be eligible for the NFL draft? If you think about it, these one-year wonders that we've had recently, you know, Dwayne Haskins, where would Joe Burrow be? Kyler Murray, these guys who, and, you know, I'm talking about just quarterbacks, but there are a lot of positions here. There are a lot of players who came out of nowhere. Joe Burrow was a fifth-round draft pick. And then he had the magical season and is the number one pick overall. Dwayne Haskins comes out of nowhere. Kyler Murray out of baseball. What do they do?
I don't know. I mean, it's tough for those guys. You feel bad. Look, I feel bad for all the players. And it's been amazing to watch, you know, Trevor Lawrence basically unionized college football at midnight last night. You know, these guys, they want to play. A lot of them do. And yeah, for the established stars who aren't going to play because they're not, there's no way they're playing in the spring, to the up and coming guys, to the hidden gems that you were talking about, this takes away a big opportunity for them. And yeah, you can try to play in the spring. Sure. And some guys would be happy to play and try to help improve their stock then. But this is, I mean, it puts a major crimp in the entire trickle down of football from the NFL through college to high school recruiting. Everything is on hold and up in the air.
What do you think happens today?
I don't know whether if the Big Ten will wait until tomorrow on this. There's a scheduled meeting for Pac-12 presidents tomorrow, or if something happens today. I'm not sure. I would expect, as you obviously said, those two are going to be probably first. I do think the Big Ten was trying to get everybody on the same page since everybody was mad at the Big Ten in July for preempting everyone on the schedule. They were all supposed to be on the same page then. But I think the other conferences, too, are going to be right there behind them as far as the group of five leagues. Today, here's what I think. Today, the players will continue to make a social media push to try to make their voices heard, to say, hey, let's reconsider, and good for them, but it's not going to be enough.
Yeah, I was told liability. That was the key word, that liability with these universities, and if something happens, and, you know, what it would cost them. You know, the risk and the reward, the risk isn't worth the reward. But can you make a case, though, Pat, that at these Power Five conferences who do have the money to test and you know, unlike the Mid-American Conference, that they are safer on campus than maybe they would be if they were at home and, socializing?
Sure. Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, the players will probably stay on campus. I mean, unless these campuses are going to close down to students, most of them are having students on campus. Not all of them, but most of them. So, you know, I don't anticipate the Ohio State team and the Michigan team going home, per se. I think they will stay there unless they want to opt out and work out for the draft. So, you know, I think you'll stay there and you'll still be in a situation where you're probably getting routine testing and you're working out there and they're trying to make things as safe as possible. I think another big factor, Dan, is worry about heart conditions. There has been a few players here and there who have said, hey, my heart is not right. There have been doctors who have said they've got that some players have had enlarged hearts, myocarditis. And that really got the attention of the presidents. My colleague Ross Dellinger did a good story on that, just that you start talking to presidents about unknown long-term heart damage and you, to your point of liability, do you want to be on the hook if you got five players with heart damage?
Yeah, you bring that up, and I was told that they're seeing players, if they may be asymptomatic, but a couple of weeks after the fact, they're starting to see some issues with their hearts with some of these players. Granted, it might be a small sample here, but these are things that, you know, a university is liable, and they realize this, that just, you know, what would happen with lawsuits here if something happened? So I think that's why they're, you know, I think they were in denial for a long time. And I just think that now as we get closer to classes starting and kids coming to, on campus, the reality hit home.
Yeah. Now that they pushed the decision so far down the road as far as they could. Yeah. And we're in denial, like, hey, we can pull this off. Can't we? Sure we can. Let's put on a show. And, you know, the closer you get to it, the more there's just too many problems facing it. And now, you know, we'll see if they can get together and come up with a plan for the spring. There's no good spring options, but is there a spring option that's close enough to good that you can do? Or have they just been sitting there with wishful thinking about the fall and not even thought about the spring yet?
Yeah. If you could interview one person on the record involved in all of this, who would you want to interview? Coach, player?
I think I would interview probably Gene Smith at Ohio State, the athletic director there, because I, you know, they're the flagship program of that conference. And I think he's a smart man and they've got a great season ahead, but they're putting on the brakes on this. And I want to know what exactly are the concerns from a health standpoint that have made you want to stop an incredibly good season at a place that cares incredibly much about college football.
Yeah, that's the surprising element here. When I told you that there were two schools in the Big Ten that were pushing to play, you probably would have thought Ohio State for sure. And now I find out that it's Nebraska and it's Iowa. Does that surprise you at all?
Nebraska doesn't surprise me at all. The second one, from inklings I had gotten, it wasn't going to be Ohio State. I thought maybe Purdue, because Mitch Daniels, the president there, former governor of Indiana, has been pretty bullish on trying to let's reopen, let's normalize. So yeah. I wouldn't have guessed Iowa, but Nebraska, yeah.
Good to talk to you again, Pat. Thanks for joining us as always. Great work over the weekend.
Thank you. Optimism 2021.
Pat Forty. Sports Illustrated senior writer. Yeah, Sports Illustrated did a great job over the weekend with some of their information as well, following them. We got a poll question, McLevin?
I'm going to put up, if you're okay with it, do you think they should have a season? I know everyone wants one. It sounds like we're not going to have one, but do you think that they should? Is everyone going to just say yes because it's wishful thinking?
Probably so. I mean, I would hope they had a football season. I was just... You know, I was stuck in reality here where I just said, I just don't see it happening. And, you know, so Pat was backing up what I said. Northern Illinois said to everybody else in the Mid-American Conference, the other presidents, hey, we're not playing. And that's when the Mid-American Conference goes, then we're not playing as a conference. It would have looked really bad if Northern Illinois, and maybe Northern Illinois started the avalanche here. Because then it's the Mid-American Conference. Now, granted, I was told they don't have the money. It's not a revenue-producing, you know, sport the way it is in the Power Five conferences. But it's still a very respectable conference. And when they decided that they weren't going to do this, then you start to look around and these commissioners and these presidents, the athletic directors, then you know what the optics are going to be. Oh, wait. They care about their students and student-athletes, but you don't, because that's the way it's going to be portrayed. That'll be the spin on this. All right, let me take a break. We got a lot of phone calls, as we always do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you like, what you didn't like, your chance to be part of the program. We'll take a break here. Back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
Oh my God. The play. The play is called play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I'm going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
check this out.
Top Tracer, powered by Top Golf.
Well, it looks like a wow.
It's brilliant, Nick. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. That is what we've been waiting for. 23 years of age. Perhaps just hit the shot of his life.
Colin Morikawa joins us on the program tomorrow. The par 4 16th had an eagle and his first major championship. He went the weekend going 65 and 64. That's the lowest closing 36-hole total by any golfer in a major in history. That's your play of the day. Play of the day brought to you by my favorite wireless earbuds. They're called Raycon. Get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Patrick. That's buyraycon.com/Patrick. I've played that course before, and it, of course, chewed me up and spit me out. But those guys, you know, you see what golf has become. It's about, certainly on that course, it's just about you got to hit it at least 300 yards. But they try to punish you by having, you know, the rough a little bit higher, and then they tighten the fairways there. That's the only way you're going to salvage some of these great golf courses around the world, is you got to make them tighter, and you got to really penalize if you miss the fairway. Brooks Koepka, our boy, got roughed up yesterday. He was talking a good game on Saturday. He got humbled yesterday because he was saying, I'm basically the guy to beat here, and he beat himself. Still love, I think Brooks is great for the game. I love that there's a little bit of friction there. He's not afraid to push a button or two, but he got humbled. And golf will humble you in an instant. All right, let's take a break. I don't know. How about we take a break from that to then go to phone calls is what I meant. I'm ready to go to commercial break here. No, I looked at the time and I'm like, oh.
We're shot out of a cannon, man.
I know I am. I'm a little fired up today. Probably because of all this bad news, breaking news with college football here. Mark in Florida leads us off. Hi, Mark. What do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan. 5'10", 150. So best of the weekend is the Oakland A's and Houston Astros fight. Mm. And worst of the weekend is my Pelicans getting eliminated from playoff contention.
Yeah, I was disappointed in Lonzo Ball. He was really subpar in the bubble. And, you know, Zion's got something to work on here. They do have a nucleus there. But Lonzo Ball's got to be a whole lot better. And I really thought that we were starting to see the true promise of Lonzo Ball. I know it's a small sample size, but, man, was he disappointing in the bubble. And now it looks like you're going to have your play-in game. I don't know who's going to make it. Is Memphis going to hold on and maybe be part of the play-in game? I saw where the Clippers want the Lakers to face the Blazers. I don't know. Are they manipulating the schedule here of who plays and who doesn't play here? But I know that they want the Blazers to face the Lakers because the Clippers reportedly think the Blazers can beat the Lakers here. Yes, McLovin.
A lot of overreactions to the 8-game bubble regular season out there. That's all I'm saying.
What do you mean?
I'm saying people are reading a lot into these stat lines as if the Lakers and Clippers are trying. Lakers are 2-4, and everyone's like, oh, sky is falling. And the Luka scores 50 points a game, and everyone's like, oh, look at him dominating. I'm just saying that the good teams are resting their players. I think that's an underrated aspect of this.
So, wait a minute. Is this a knock on my boy Luka or on other guys who are putting up big numbers in the bubble?
Well, I'm just saying the Bucks played the Mavs, and the Mavs won, and Luka all of a sudden became one of the top 10 players of all time.
Did the Greek freak play in that game?
He did, but he played 12 less minutes than Luka.
Okay.
Because, and also everyone's saying, like, oh, LeBron is not trying. Wait till LeBron turns it on in a week. This doesn't mean anything.
When the Clippers struggle, it's not headline worthy. When the Lakers struggle, this is the end of the world for the Lakers.
Clippers lost to the Nets last night.
Oh, I know.
Nobody cares.
I know. But if the Lakers had lost to the Nets, oh, my God. According to Joe Varden of The Athletic, Clippers players actively want the Lakers to have to face Portland in the first round. They believe the Blazers could actually beat the Lakers. The Clippers could have helped increase the likelihood of such a scenario Saturday had they lost to Portland, but they ultimately won a game that led to some serious bad blood. Yeah, Dame Lillard who had an unbelievable game yesterday. What did he put up, 51, McLovin?
Oh, on a Sixers team without Simmons and without Embiid? He was beating up like G League players, and they still almost lost.
Okay. You didn't learn your lesson when I said, stay away from Luka. You're not going to win that argument.
You know, I gave up on the Luke argument this weekend, but I'm back in. It's all big fake numbers.
Who? Okay.
He was like 37, 19, and 15 the other day. Is that can't be realistic. Nobody's.
Well, he had 30-something and 20 rebounds and 12 assists, too. It's not like it's a one-off here.
I know. It's unbelievable.
You got to stop. Just free your mind. The rest will follow, McLovin.
Well, I do have a great poll question for you later on, Luka.
Okay. Let me get a couple more phone calls in here. I would have thought after he had back-to-back, and I'm not even going to fight you on it. I'm not going to fight you on it. You'd actually take Zion over Luka.
I'm off that bandwagon.
Zion's biggest competition is going to be his body. That's going to be his biggest competition. Can he stay out in front of it? Can he be healthy enough? Can he be explosive? I watched highlights of him at Duke and just on offense because he doesn't play any defense. he just sort of floats out there. He doesn't play any defense whatsoever. But when he runs the break, I just wanted to see what he looked like at Duke, and there is a big difference. No pun intended. There's a big difference in how he is right now with the Pelicans and how he was at Duke. Yeah, McLovin.
Occasionally, he'll block a shot into like the eighth row. It's on that Duke highlight reel.
Well, yeah. In college, he was doing that.
Oh, there's no defense, right? But does Luka play defense? He might. I have no idea.
Wait, I'm just saying that he doesn't play any defense. So it's not like he's expending any energy on the defensive end, and it doesn't look like he has that much energy on the offense.
But he's still scoring at a crazy clip per minute. Zion, I don't know how.
But Luka's putting up 19 assists. The Greek Freak had one.
It's getting harder and harder to be on that anti-Luka
bandwagon. And I know that people get sensitive with the Larry Bird comparison. But he's better than Larry Bird right now, but he's only 21. Bird didn't get into the league till he's 23, I think.
But Larry's like 60 right now. That's not a fair comparison.
I see what you did, McLovin. Yeah. Although Larry's probably still a better shooter than Luka right now. I will give you that. But Luka is doing things that Larry never did. Now, that doesn't mean, is Luka going to be like when Larry was 30? Larry was better than LeBron James at 30. I mean, Larry just was. And then LeBron didn't start elevating past Larry Bird until, 3 years ago, maybe, on people's all-time list? Yeah, Paul.
At the age Luka is now, Larry was a junior at Indiana State with one more year to go, averaging 30, 12, and 4.
Yeah. 30, 12, and 4. Luka's doing 29, 11, and 9 now in the NBA at 21. I know it's blasphemous to say it, and I know it's generational. The game is different now, but Luka is a better offensive basketball player than Bird right now. He is. I don't know what he's going to be like in 4 years, 5 years. He's going to be even better than what we see, which would be scary. And Bird, I love. Bird was fabulous. But Luka's putting up incredible assist totals. So it's different. Larry was a point forward. Luka is he's a point guard. Yeah, McLovin.
The game is spaced differently now, though. Bird might thrive a little more in this wide-open game.
Oh, he'd be taking, 8 to 10 threes a game, maybe even more than that. At least I'd want him to. Still want the ball in his hands, game on the line. Absolutely. We'll go inside the bubble. Chris Haynes will join us. Always love talking to Chris. Find out, is the sky falling with the Lakers here? And the bad blood between the Blazers and Clippers. I love it.